Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. At their childhood home just after their mother's funeral, Nate gets high and Jeremy focuses on work waiting for him in the city. Both brothers trying to send their thoughts anywhere but where they are.
Hot at a funeral might seem unusual, but it's what I like to do in the basement. It's pretty natural and sort of casual, just to light up a nice doob as replacement for any drama. I don't want to be a party to upstairs. Get away from a strange day for a party. There's always hot at a funeral, sort of medicinal, curing me of all the sounds all around me, turning them beautiful and helping me pull the wool over my eyes so they'll never have found me. When I'm done the smoking gun, I'll be hidden by my buzz, and my eyes will be red cause my mom is dead, and not because of the pot I smoked at her funeral.
This is the starting point of A Little More Alive, a musical theater lab production currently running at Barrington Stage Company's St. Germain Stage in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. The musical, directed by Cheryl Kaller and featuring fantastic actors Van Hughes, Daniel Jenkins, Nicolette Robinson, Michael Ticone, and Emily Walton, tells the story of dealing not only with the devastation of loss, but the revelation that the person who has died had a secret. A secret that warps all their memories of her and memories of both monumental and mundane moments in their lives. A Little More Alive features book, music, and lyrics by Nick Blamire, and he joins us now.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, as you know from my Twitter enthusiasm, I loved A Little More Alive, and I am very excited to speak with you about it.
Well, thank you so much. I was really, really appreciated your tweets, and I've been excited to talk to you.
Where did the idea for the show come from? Did it start with a song or a story?
It did start with a song. It started with a song that sort of found a story. Pot at a Funeral, the opening number, is actually the oldest song in the show. And I had written it just about thinking about, you know, how I would deal with the people who are special in my life dying. And I think there's a real human capacity to avoid and sort of to push the void away. And it's something that that sort of scares me about myself, and something I've begun to recognize in other people. So I tried to sort of musicalize that using the juxtaposition of the idea of smoking pot at a funeral of someone close to you. And as that song came out, which was actually a relatively quick process for me, sometimes takes me a long time. This one was about 1 or 2 days. During those 2 days, a friend of mine told me a story about an affair that had been uncovered in her family's history. As her grandmother was passing away, she had told her mother to throw out a box full of letters that was in her closet. And naturally, my friend's mom did not throw out that box, looked inside and found a whole history with a family friend that she had not realized was having an affair with her mother. And the way that that sort of changed her and everybody's understanding of that family's history was pretty seismic. And it became clear to me that there was a correlation between those ideas about avoiding grief and also avoiding accepting who your family actually is. And so it really quickly became sort of an obsession of mine of figuring out what pot at a funeral, what kind of story that could be the opening number for.
And you were off from there.
Yes, off and running very slowly for the past 7 years.
Right, which is how musicals come to us.
certainly true.
One of the devices in the show is home movies, and I thought it was, well, they're wonderful, first of all.
Thank
they make
you.
It, you know, very interesting and take you in back to see how the family was and help you understand why the brothers would be so upset to be confused
sure.
about what was happening in their own house, because you see how straightforward it seemed to all of them.
Certainly.
How did the element of home movies come into the production?
Well, that it's thematically, it certainly stemmed from what I was just talking about in terms of the ways we sort of clean up our narrative. It's something that I definitely have a history of. My family is I know the home movies that I, you know, grew up being featured in that my dad took over the years. I know them almost better than some of the actual memories taking place. I have this like this sort of strange cinematic viewpoint on them because, you know, rather than seeing a kind of a first person view as an actual memory, I sort of am part of the memory in this odd synthetic way. And sort of clouds, you know, what was my real experience in that moment and what was, you know, just my memory of watching it on a VCR. And that became sort of another way to deal with sort of, you know, editing out the parts of your life that you don't want to remember. We have a wonderful enhancing producer on this show with Barrington Stage. His name is Hunter Arnold, and he and I talked a lot about how to sort of encapsulate that idea of looking at a picture one way when you don't know anything about it, and then once you find out, you know, a few other givens about it, you look at the picture in an entirely different way. And so we spent a lot of time shooting those videos on a really high quality camera, a RED, and then took them and processed them through various different VCRs to kind of bring them back to this 80s, 90s look.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we could blow them up on the screen. And Kate Hevner Kemp, who's a really incredible projection designer, came on board and helped us figure out different ways to sort of accent the part of the video, both in terms of audio and in terms of the image, so the audience can sort of get a clue as to what to pay attention to in that video before they even necessarily get the plot point that explodes that piece of the video's truth.
It's very effective.
Thank you. It was really fun to put together. I mean, that's sort of the fun of this show to me is how we can take the form of musical theater and sort of blast it open and use different forms of expression to help underline the music. So it's actually not about the music doing all the work. It's about, you know, my favorite parts of movies are that moment where a revelation comes out and you suddenly have this sort of rewind through everything you've seen, like in The Sixth Sense when you realize, oh my God, Bruce Willis is dead, and you go back through all these scenes and you start, you know, realizing that it's been there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to try to figure out how to do that in a musical on stage without ever having to show you that rewind. And the home videos were just a really exciting way to sort of break that open.
As we mentioned a moment ago, musicals take a long time to get where they're going. This show was produced in 2014, so last year at Kansas City Repertory Theater. How is the Musical Theater Lab production at Barrington Stage different from the Kansas City Rep production?
It's interesting. It's sort of an inverse production in that I would say in terms of production value, it was a much more realized, almost photorealistic set. It was three stories tall, and it ran on hydraulics, and it looked like a house. It looked like a house got cut in half, and you could see inside. And yet I hadn't really cracked a lot of the things that we were just talking about in terms of how the home movies and the music illuminate the story. And so that's why I'd say it's inverse in that this production is far more close to the bone in terms of only needing the bare essentials to sort of suggest where rooms are and what the house might look like so you can sort of fill in the rest. And I think hopefully what we've done is strengthen the writing and our interpretation of the writing to tell you things that spark your imagination more so you can fill in the blanks. Because, you know, I think the problem with putting up a ton of stuff is that your imagination doesn't work as hard and that you don't, as an audience member, engage as fully, I think, as you do when you have to fill in the rest of the picture. And that's the stuff that I love the most, going to the theater, is being challenged, being pushed. And once we sort of realized that meant showing less and sort of suggesting more, Barrington felt like the most perfect fit in the world for the next evolution of the play. And it's really exciting, you know, sort of figuring out what the play wants to be as opposed to forcing things on it. And that, you know, sort of the constraint of being in a small theater ended up being our biggest asset.
Our guest is Nick Blamire, who wrote the book, music, and lyrics for A Little More Alive, a Musical Theater Lab production of which is currently running on Barrington Stage Company's St. Germain Stage in Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
I'm on a high and it's fun, so let's do it. Done feeling low, cause it's sucky, so screw it. And nobody here's gonna misconstrue it, cause I'm on a high. Got some new green and I wanna debut it, though it smells kinda weird, it must be how she grew it. But she isn't here, so who cares if that's true? It is my time to fly.
The book, music, and lyrics for this show, which is not unheard of, but is fairly uncommon. Usually there's a writing team or someone does the music and lyrics and someone else does the book. And you've done that as well. You've done that too. You've worked with other people to create a show. How is that solitary part of the process? How did that affect you, and what did you learn from it?
It's definitely harder. I mean, it's massages a lot of anxieties, and you know that if the thing doesn't work, there's only one person in the room that everybody's turning to.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I do think that the reason that I endeavored to do it on this one is that I find it frustrating when a musical voice changes between the book and the music. And it's inevitable when you have two different people writing that. And even when you have someone writing all of the words and then someone contributing music, there's still this agreement of vantage point on the material that's always going to be slightly different because those two people have different life experiences. And with this one, because it's about a family and because it's a story that is so sort of woven together, I wanted it to feel like one voice. And that took me spending many, many hours alone in my room and alone with my fiance and my dog with, you know, shutting myself up and just trying to zone in on creating the smallest level of suture between between when the book stopped and the music began. And it makes me miss collaborating with another writer. I certainly don't think that that writing musicals alone is a sustainable thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is exhausting in a way that I don't think is
healthy.
It's not. It's both, like, you know, it's a hard thing for your ego to take when you realize how much work has to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I think that it's important to have. I mean, I think John Lennon and Paul McCartney, you know, alone, it doesn't work. There's something about the collaboration of somebody taking you to a higher place that, you know, I found that collaboration on this show, my director, Cheryl Kaller, and this cast and this design team. And they played, you know, a much larger role in this process than I think they would if there had been a collaborator on the writing side. Now, I will say that I think that's a wonderful thing, and I love being an actor myself. I also just really love being able to hear everybody's thoughts in the room. I think that the best idea in the room winning is a healthy way to get to a compelling piece that has, you know, sort of no delineations between who did what. But yeah, I think, you know, I'm certainly tired, and I think that the next one I do, I look forward to having somebody else share the burden with me.
You mentioned the director, Cheryl Kaller, who I was going to ask you about working with her. I think I know her work a bit, have spoken with her a few times. I think she's just wonderful, a wonderful, brilliant, sort of calming presence every time I've had the opportunity to interact with her. So I wanted you to speak a little bit more, if you wouldn't mind, about working with Cheryl.
Yeah, I mean, Cheryl was sort of the perfect choice for the show, especially when we started to meet with people about it, because the show is about the loss of the matriarch in the family. You know, having somebody who is a mother and a teacher be sort of the way in for the audience made a ton of sense to me, because it's, you know, because I'm male and I'm writing about three males and they're predominantly pushing the action forward, I really wanted to make sure that the show was sort of about trying to figure out how to find your female side when it's been taken from you, and especially when it's been as warped as this family goes through. And, you know, it was her idea to get Rachel Bay Jones to come and do the home movies to play the mother in the video, and they spent a lot of time talking during that shoot about how to keep Maggie as sympathetic a character as possible, because I think that it's really easy to sort of vilify her since you never get to hear her speak her side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to tell her side of the story without doing it sort of opaquely. And that was stuff that Cheryl masterminded all along the way. And she's a wonderful collaborator. She takes really good care of her actors. And I think especially in a show that, you know, we're hoping can blur the lines between play and musical, she puts a lot, she gives them a lot of ownership, and I think it strengthens both their confidence in their piece of the storytelling, And I think it also allows for a bit of a subtler approach to the presentation, which was very much in line with, you know, this sort of suggesting more than telling, in terms of, you know, how we bring people into the story. And she's really gotten some incredible performances out of those five actors.
Absolutely. You mentioned a moment ago that you are also a performer. How does being a performer, do you think, influence your writing, or how do the two skills interact with each other?
I know being a performer is maybe a better writer, because I'm so unforgiving with myself about what's active. And I think that as an actor, I run into a lot of trouble in new work trying to figure out how to activate something that feels very writerly, mm-hmm. in that it's sort of somebody's writing about a quality or describing something in a way that doesn't really have an action tied to it, and especially in musicals and in plays too, movies, it's all about what are the characters doing, what do they want. And so it's been a really good way to police myself to not fall into the same traps when I'm writing things, to make sure that I'm pushing these characters forward and that I'm not repeating beats. And it's also just lovely being in the room with actors and sitting at the other side of the table. I love coming in with my coffee and bagel in the morning and not having to, you know, put in the new pages myself. It's a nice break. And it's also just really lovely talking about the process with an actor to learn how they attack material and trying to write, you know, sort of to their process. Van Hughes is a perfect example of that. Van plays Nate, and he's just the most open, collaborative, confident guy. And he's not afraid to tell me if something's clicking, and he's also not afraid to tell me when it is. And I think that's, you know, sort of an amazing quality in a person, but especially in an actor, because I want that feedback. I want to be able to give the actor sort of those guideposts so they can understand the arc that I'm writing, and also to give them, you know, the most fulfilling arc in an evening so that they have to play over and over. And that's been sort of the fun of this, is trying to write characters that I would want to play, and then not having the responsibility to play them and giving that to, you know, to five actors who just knock it out of the park.
A Little More Alive runs on Barrington Stage's St. Germain stage through August 8th. Nick, it's beautiful and wrenching and funny. I just loved it, and I thank you so much for speaking with me about it.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
I miss taking pictures like this, getting into a pose that Mom probably chose while you both make a fuss. Every picture in this is evidence of us. That's what I miss.
A Little More Alive is a Musical Theater Lab production currently running on Barrington Stage Company's St. Germain Stage in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. The show has book, music, and lyrics by our guest Nick Blamire and runs through August 8th. For more information, visit barringtonstageco.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.